It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening to Gervie's Law around the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here, right here, at Talk Radio 790 KBC, to be the managing partner of your life. And we have a great show today. You do not want to miss it. I'm here with my co-host, finally in studio with me, Carrie Kasem. Hey, Carrie, what is going on? I haven't seen you for the longest time.
I know. You know that we've been... it's been over a month, hasn't it? I've been on the political train a little bit.
The political train. Are you running for the Senate?
I will be soon, but no, in the next few years, I feel like I'd probably run for something. But honestly, I've been state to state with my bill and talking in front of the Senate, talking in front of the House.
Wait a second. Move back a second here. You are going to be running for public office?
Maybe. I've thought about it, actually, because I really think on the state levels where you make change.
I will vote for you,
and you
are getting such great experience lobbying the legislatures all throughout this land for the visitation bill.
Yes, and it's been very successful. We have it in 12 states now. I just got back from Wisconsin, and then...
Why are you laughing?
Because you crack me up. Wisconsin,
this
Maryland,
is no
and Virginia,
laughing matter.
And Virginia. And it was fantastic. I actually made the front page of the paper.
Wow.
In Maryland. First time ever. It's usually, you know, I'm so used to it being, there was a tiny picture of my dad and this huge picture of me, and it's usually the opposite way. I mean, this is the first time.
It was a big picture of you and a little picture of Casey Kasem?
Which was amazing, yes.
Well, don't laugh about that, but I'm sure he's very proud of you.
He is.
He's looking down, very proud of Carrie Kasem for all the great work she's doing as she gallivants all over the country, going to legislature after legislature, and you are learning a lot about politics. And, of course, you have learned a whole lot about the law just being here as a co-host of Gervie's Law.
That's true. Absolutely. I probably use what I've learned here when I'm dealing with all the...
I will be billing you later. I bill out at about $7.50 an hour. So you will be paying me for all the experience you're gaining as a lobbyist and all the information about the law.
Yes.
And speaking about the law, today we have an incredible show because we have one of the most important lawyers on our show of our times.
I agree.
And we are very privileged to have him. You probably heard of him, folks. You know he has been in the spotlight so many times. I don't know if he's an actor, he's a lawyer, he's a commentator. He does everything so well. His name, of course, is Mark Garagos, and we are going to be talking to Mark all through the hour. Mark Garagos, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, thank you. That's quite a wonderful introduction. I'll take it.
Well, you better take it because that's the only one you're going to get.
Thanks.
So, Mark, I'm going to start with a tough question because we don't want to throw any softballs to you. Recently, I was watching a video from some years back on one of your clients, Rafe Esquith, and we're going to talk about Rafe Esquith a little bit later. But in the video, it was a speech he was doing at PCC, and he opened his talk, and he said, I've been recognized by the Dalai Lama, I've been recognized by Oprah, I've been recognized by the White House, I'm a best-selling author, and I'm still most proud of teaching fifth graders at Hobart Elementary School in LAUSD. Now, Mark Garagos, you've been a regular on Good Morning America. You've been a legal analyst for CNN. You've represented Michael Jackson, Scott Peterson, Chris Brown, Winona Ryder, Susan McDougall. You've been named one of two lawyers as Attorney of the Year in both criminal and civil arenas. Now, here's the question. What are you most proud of?
You know, Representing Rafe Esquith is something I'm very proud of. It's people who make a real difference. I mean, you mentioned Susan McDougal. That was obviously one of the things that catapulted my career back in the 90s. She, for those who don't remember, she was Bill and Hillary Clinton's business partner in the Whitewater fiasco, and ended up, I had to try two jury trials for her, one out here in Santa Monica where she was accused of embezzlement before anybody knew who she was, and we got her acquitted on all 12 counts of that. Then we went back to Little Rock and fought the Office of Independent Counsel, where they tried to get her to roll over on Bill or Hillary Clinton, and were able to get her acquitted on the obstruction counts, and jury hung on the contempt counts.
And what about a pardon?
I was proud of that. That was somebody who was standing up and doing the right thing and not just rolling over because a prosecutor was threatening them with jail time. I thought that took a lot of courage.
And wasn't that a little bit of a political situation for you? Because when Bill Clinton obviously was president, there was a situation of conflicts. And then didn't you get into the political scene and get Susan McDougal pardoned on that?
Yeah, the before I represented her, the reason that she was put into contempt is she was convicted when she had another case before I had ever met her in Little Rock. And as soon as they convicted her, they then threw her in front of the grand jury and said you couldn't invoke the Fifth anymore. And she refused to testify, and she ended up spending somewhere between 18 and 22 months in custody for failing to testify. That was as a result of that failure to testify is why she was indicted later for the obstruction and for the two counts of contempt.
Yeah, that was an interesting situation. It had political overtones. But through it all, you mentioned that you're proud of representing a real person, Rafe Esquith. And a lot of people don't know about Rafe.
I mean, for those of you who don't know who he is, he has a longtime teacher at Hobart Elementary, fifth graders. Could have had offers to go anywhere and everywhere, including overseas, to start schools and do other things like that. And he always turned them down because he liked doing the work he was doing at Hobart, which is kind of a economically challenged community, and he loved those kids and started the Hobart Shakespearean Club and
Mark Twain.
No good deed goes unpunished, LAUSD, because some teacher complained about him quoting Mark Twain as a joke and the kids actually understanding it in fifth grade. And then the next thing you know, it snowballed into LAUSD doing, manufacturing complaints against him and terminating him. And so I took that case and ended up filing a class action. And that's literally one of the most, I've never seen a case that resonated with more people than that case. Because you can't believe the number of teachers that have reached out to me since we filed that class.
Well, Mark, you know, I can believe it because I'm not sure you're aware of this, but as a workers' compensation attorney, my firm actually represents about 40 LAUSD teachers who have either been in teacher's jail or have suffered the consequences of the abuse. And, you know, it's been a difficult time. A lot of them have lost their livelihoods, obviously, but they've lost their sanity as well when they're put into these teachers' jails, which fortunately have recently been eliminated. But you know, because I've got the complaint in my hand, the class action complaint, and you talk about it, what happens to these teachers or what did happen when they were put in a room. Some of them had to actually drive 30, 40, 50 minutes just to get to this little room. Ergonomics were horrible, and they sat there for 6 or 7 hours not being able to talk to anyone. What's up with LAUSD?
It's absolutely unbelievable, but I think that there was actually an economic motivation. I don't know if you have surveyed the 40 people you represent, but one of the overwhelming statistics that I found with the hundreds, if not thousands, of people who called the office and emailed us is that they were all approaching the age when their retirement benefits
absolutely
would get in.
Absolutely. They have been thrown to the curb. We don't have any of them that I believe are under 50. They have all put in, 20, 30, 25 years of service. It's despicable.
It really is. And I think when we get this to trial, we're going to be able to show through the discovery process that this was this is something they planned and dealt with.
And you know what's interesting? I love the way that you write the complaint in the class action suit. You are using some real interesting language, and I give you credit because a lot of lawyers are afraid to write in petitions and to write into complaints what's really happening. Here's what you write. Most shockingly, the LAUSD administrators leading the witch hunts against teachers and ruining their lives are the same administrators who have been sanctioned by courts for concealing, manipulating, and destroying evidence of abuse, who are under FBI and other governmental investigation for misappropriation, are led by a superintendent who settled a crotch-grabbing lawsuit for $300,000 of taxpayers' money. Congratulations, Mark, for telling it like it is.
Well, one of the things that I find kind of offensive about large institutions, bureaucracies, and others is they think they can just kind of pile drive or steamroll over people who don't have resources. And
right.
That's one of the reasons that I think if you just tell the truth to power, as the old expression goes, a lot of times they'll make stupid moves like come in and do a motion to strike the language. Well, great. I highlight it.
That's right.
I welcome it. Yeah.
You know, whenever I'm up for sanctions, which I have been, unfortunately, a few times, it highlights what I'm trying to do. Right now, I'm fighting a sanctions petition because I said that the judge was suffering the Lord of the Flies syndrome, and the fact is that the discovery that she has cut off is going to impact the entire community of injured workers and will result in chaos, and now I'm up for sanctions. But I'll take it because it's a point well taken. Carrie Kasem is here waiting, itching.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mark? I know last time, and I we'll talk about this after the break.
Right.
Last time we talked, you were telling me you were suing the government in Turkey because of what happened to in the Armenian genocide. And I
genocide,
want to catch
exactly.
up with
okay.
that. Yeah.
After the break, I'll fill you in.
We are going to talk about that. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
For you.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips. It's hard to believe, but we'll be back next month.
Yeah. I'll see you next month. I can't wait.
See you in February.
A weekend in December.
With a box of chocolates shaped like a heart.
And a box of wine.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Hi, this is Luis Venegas of Freedom Home Buyers, and I buy houses cash. If you own a house and want to sell it fast at a fair price, call me at 626-414-3600. I could pay cash and close in as little as 3 days. I buy houses in any condition, any price range, and any location. I am not a realtor or associated with a realty company. I am a private investor who buys several houses a month and wants to buy more. I buy inherited houses, divorced houses, behind on payment houses. I even buy the tenant won't pay me rent houses. Do you own a house that's trashed and need thousands of dollars of repairs? Great, because I love buying junky houses. I buy vacant houses, abandoned houses, condemned houses, and foreclosed houses. If you own a house and want to sell it fast, call me at 626-414-3600. That's 626-414-3600. Call me now at 626-414-3600. 626-414-3600.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes! Yeah, you're listening to Gurry's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We have Mark Garagos with us. He is one of two lawyers named Lawyer of the Year in both criminal and civil cases. That's tough to do. The other one, of course, is Johnny Cochran. So Mark Garagos is the only living lawyer with that distinction. And he has a lot to say about a lot. Carrie Kasem before the break. And we're getting a lot of calls. If you want to call, it's 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. We are getting a lot of calls. But Carrie has questions that you want to ask Mark about his really great work that he's done on behalf of the Armenian community.
Absolutely. You know, last time we talked, we did talk about the Armenian genocide and getting people to recognize it, especially this country. But you're suing the government of Turkey right now.
We started back in the year 2000. I'm Armenian, even though I've got the shish kebab Armenian name. The IAN was dropped by my grandfather.
That's okay.
But it, so it would be Garagosian?
It would be Garagosian, exactly.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so the... we started first suing insurance companies, and we were able to get some settlements out of New York Life and out of AXA. And then we started against the government of Turkey. And, in fact, we were set to argue in the Ninth Circuit on kind of a discrete issue. And then the U.S. Supreme Court took up a case, and so that stayed it. And now the stay has been lifted, and we're waiting to argue. And our theory is that because the atrocities were committed against people and it had an effect in the U.S. on people who were living here, that therefore we should be able to sue to get back some of the real property and the churches and the other things that were stolen. So we expect sometime, we just finished briefing the issue, and we expect to argue in front of the Ninth Circuit on that very shortly.
Excellent. And let's say you do sue and you're successful suing the Turkish government, Turkey.
Turkey, the bank, the bank, which is basically controlled by the government as well.
And are they just going to just pay you? I mean, how would you collect something like that?
Anything easy about dealing with the Turks? They're in complete denial about the genocide.
Yeah.
I mean, they spend tens of millions of dollars a year buying off ex legislators and current legislators to lobby for them and to vote for them. I'm, you know. Back in the 80s, Reagan recognized the genocide when he was president, and Congress twice recognized the genocide. Since then, Turkey has gone into kind of this hyper-lobbyist mode in terms of trying to forestall the recognition of the genocide.
Is that because they would owe people so much money?
I think it's economic. As most things in life, it's economically driven. I mean, they understand that reparations would have to be paid. They don't want to deal with mm-hmm. that. So what they do is they basically extort the U.S. government and say, we're not going to allow you access to bases here if you allow this to happen, if you recognize the genocide. And, you know, we're there standing shoulder to shoulder with you in the fight against ISIS, which they're not. As was shown so recently.
You know, Mark, not too long ago we had on our show Randy Schoenberg, who was featured in Woman in Gold, the movie. I don't know if you've spoken to him or not, but, of course, his was the case where he brought the Gustav Klimt's work back to America, and he was fighting the government in Austria, I believe, to do that. You talked to him and the obstacles?
I followed those cases because when we did the first – back when we got the first settlement with New York Life, which was for about $20 million in, and those were on insurance policies that were issued during the Ottoman Empire and that had never been paid. Then we followed up with AXA, who was the reinsurer, and settled that case for about $17.5 million, which interestingly, when you publicize these things, and there were thousands of policies, you would find, you know, most of the policies, you'd get multiple claimants on it.
Yeah.
But almost 40%, there was no relatives. They just wiped out the entire lineage. So it was
part
of what we ended up doing was giving that money to charities and to charitable organizations that had helped the survivors of the genocide.
So what did you argue when the federal court said no Armenian American can sue foreign insurance companies for unpaid claims because the U.S. government doesn't legally recognize that an Armenian genocide occurred?
What I argue is that it's absolutely beside the point. I mean, it's crazy that they struck the statute. You know, we had the statute passed, and they struck the statute because they claimed that there was a intrusion into the foreign policy of the executive branch, which is just ludicrous. You know, Obama, at least when he was a candidate, acknowledged, in fact, that the genocide occurred. I can't help that once he became president, he got co-opted by the Turks. But clearly, you can't just say the genocide didn't occur. And by using the term Armenian genocide, that somehow that's going to inflame the
right.
Turks.
Right. That's insulting. That's all that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it really is. Can you imagine? I mean, just substitute other kinds of historical facts for Armenian genocide. And can you imagine the ludicrous nature of the idea that somehow uttering two words which are historically significant means that, therefore, the lawsuit can't go forward? I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing.
Post hoc, ergo propter hoc. That's all I can say. One doesn't
yes.
follow the other. Now, soon we're going to have with us Wendy Walker, and Wendy Walker is really an accomplished executive producer, formerly of Larry King Live, a great author. We're going to talk to Wendy. She's standing by because you two are involved, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit. The Notorious, which is a television show that was recently picked up by ABC and will be coming out soon. So, folks, you want to listen to that. We're having a lot of people calling. I got to take a call right now. Mark, you don't mind talking to one of our callers, do you?
Not at all.
Okay, Mike, you are on the air on Gervie's Law. You're from Sherman Oaks. How's it going, Mike?
It's great, and I really enjoy the show. And Mark, it's great to be able to speak with you.
Thank you.
There is a rape shield law that protects a woman's identity, and we all know that it would not be an anomaly for a woman to make a false accusation against a man for rape. But why is there not that shield against the man's identity until he is proven guilty? We saw that with the Duke lacrosse players and many other situations. Could you tell me could get that type of legislation?
I'd say it's something I've often thought because it's a horrible accusation to make at somebody if it's not true. And I've got a recent case, actually, where I did not try the case, but I was hired after the guy was convicted. And he was convicted of rape. And then they showed me when they came in that they actually had a video of the sex act. And by looking at it, you could tell it was anything but a rape. It was obviously a consensual act. And I won't get into the details in case family...
Right, we are a family show.
Got the judge to throw out the conviction, but that doesn't do any good for a guy who's already had his career basically besmirched and ruined by the mere accusation. So I get that. In fact, that normally happens even more... frequently in high-profile cases where, you know, you get somebody acquitted and then they say to you, well, now how do I get my reputation back? That was famously what Ray Donovan, who was then the Secretary of Labor, said after he was acquitted during the Reagan administration.
A quick question. You know, has there ever been any legislation brought up to Sacramento or federally? Because I think that's a very good point you made, Mike. Have you ever done anything like that?
I echo this because we've had, you know, Gloria Allred on our show quite a bit and Lisa Bloom. We're often talking about women's rights, but Mike brings up a point to Mark about men's rights here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do any of you know if there's any legislation?
I don't think that anybody has ever done it. I know that they, you know, in fact, I've got a case now with a juvenile who's accused of a sex crime, and we've got demonstrable evidence that he did not do it. Yet LAPD, normally you would never be able to get away with this. LAPD revealed his name, and he's a juvenile, he's a kind of a high-profile individual, and yet they thought it was okay to violate that prohibition. So one of your biggest problems is always going to be that you can always muzzle the lawyers because they've got a license, but you can't muzzle law enforcement, who are the biggest leakers of all.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. Talking about people, men who may be accused wrongly, what about Scott Peterson? Because, you've quoted as saying that, you know, he may be a cad, but he's not guilty. How does he fit into this equation?
You know, it's very interesting. One of the things that's kind of caught fire in the last couple of months, as you probably have noticed or maybe have talked about on your show, is the Netflix documentary of Making a Murderer with Stephen Avery. And people are just can't believe what happened in that case. And I will tell you that, you know, a year before, 2 years before, maybe 3 years before that case was tried, that was the same kind of public hue and cry was for Scott, that he was guilty. In fact, when you get Wendy on, she's still convinced to this day that he's guilty, even though she can't cite a single piece of evidence that made.
And wait a second, you're still talking to Wendy when you're on different sides of the fence?
Yes, Wendy and I have a rather fractious relationship.
And that's why it's going to be a great TV show.
So yes, apparently it has an attraction.
So Scott Peterson, of course, from your perspective, is not guilty. Will he be put
I'd echo Dean Strang's comments on Stephen Avery, is that they certainly did not prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
And will he be put to death?
No.
Can we talk a little bit more after the break? I'm so obsessed with making of a murderer. I'm obsessed.
All right. Well, we need to bring Wendy on, too. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break here. We're having stimulating talk with Mark Garagos. It's Alan Gervey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
There are times being a genius would really come in handy.
All right, since Jess and I only ordered 3 drinks and split the chicken and you guys ate about 3/4 of the guac, but Tim only left us $15, not including tax and tip, I'm thinking Hal and Karen split a third of the bill 2 ways, so you guys each take on 12%. Does that seem fair?
But thankfully, you don't need to be a genius to do your own taxes, because TurboTax's Explain Why feature helps you understand the math behind your refund. Intuit TurboTax. Taxes done smarter. Feature availability varies by product and platform.
Get the home you've been dreaming of with hundreds of incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. It's your last chance to get our most popular whitewashed flooring styles 20% off, like Bellawood 3/4-inch solid carriage house white ash and beautiful Pearl City Click bamboo. Or warm up your home with 3/4-inch solid pre-finished cherry spice red maple for just $299 and get 45% off gorgeous hand-scraped red oak. It's now an amazing $199. And all butcher block countertops are on sale. Plus, get laminate and vinyl plank from 59 cents and 18-month special financing. Don't miss these unbeatable deals. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
If you've been thinking about refinancing or purchasing a home, Purpose Funding wants you to know the time is now, because the Fed is starting to raise rates. Home equity is up 25% throughout most of California, and rates are at all-time lows. Do not miss this window to lock in a low rate. Now is the time to call in and cash out. And at Purpose Funding, if you refinance now, you can even skip 2 mortgage payments in the process. Wouldn't that be a nice breather? Purpose Funding specializes in no-cost loans and are closing loans in as little as 20 days. Everyone's needs are different. You may want to pay off your Christmas debt or take that long overdue vacation. Whatever your reason, it's just one call to Purpose Funding at 888-419-FUND. Purpose Funding is saving their clients an average of $500 a month by repositioning debt. That's $6,000 a year. It's a win-win all the way around at Purpose Funding. Call them now at 888-419-FUND. That's 888-419-FUND. Equity may not be this high for long. It's time to call in and cash out at 888-419-FUND. 888-419-FUND.
Heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervey.
I do not know why they say Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervey. Are women always first before men? Why isn't it Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem?
I think it actually usually opens that way.
Okay,
that was a
goes.
Surprise.
You're listening to Kasem's Law right here on Talk Radio 790K.
Soon, Alan.
Soon enough. So we're talking to Mark Garagos, and, you know, Mark gave me a really great idea, because I'm listening to him talking about all of these famous cases. Of course, for anyone that's been sleeping under a rock for the last 30 years, Mark has represented some of the most important cases in history. Michael Jackson for a short period of time, Scott Peterson, Chris Brown, Winona Ryder, Susan McDougal, and a lot of others. And he's also obviously a celebrity in his own right. He's a host, CNN Making the Case, and there's a television show coming out soon called The Notorious. And Mark's telling us that he often has not seen eye to eye with Wendy Walker, who is former executive producer of Larry King Live for 17 years. She has worked her way up through the channels and has become a best-selling author, actually, with a book called Producer, Lessons Shared from 30 Years in Television. And she's working on her second book. I think we should get Wendy on the phone right now so Mark and Wendy can go at it and we can get a little glimpse into what
of
the
what,
notorious,
what notorious
is going to. Exactly. Wendy, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you.
I know you've been listening, and you know we talked about Scott Peterson. Is it true, Mark said that you still believe he's guilty as hell? Is that true? And if so, how do you deal with this Garagos guy who's fighting for the little guy?
Well, you said exactly the right thing when you first introduced him. Mark is not only an amazing lawyer, which we all know, but he deserves an Oscar. He's an amazing actor. And just like Ronald Reagan said when he was president, he said, you know, I don't know how I could be president without being an actor. Well, that's why Mark is such an amazing success.
You know, this is the old expression, damning with faint praise. You know, this coming from the woman who created Nancy Grace. So that's what I tell you. That's her claim.
Yeah, well, I think she's had other claim to fame. And, of course, way back when, didn't you room with Katie Couric?
Yes, Katie and I started our careers on the same day at ABC in 1979. Wow. A long time ago.
Oh, come on,
and
that had to be your daughter, not your mother.
That's
you're
right.
So sweet.
And she does. If anyone wants to Google Wendy Walker, she looks amazing. So, but
she's very well preserved.
Right? Oh wow, this show is going to be great. I think you two should actually star in it. Forget about getting actors for this show.
No, they don't want anybody at our advanced stages.
No,
they're going back in time.
Yeah, we're going to be 30. It's really going to be fun. We're looking forward to that.
Do we know who the actors are?
Well, they just circulated names, but we can't say yet.
Oh.
Although one of the names they circulated, I wish I could say, for Wendy, I'm really going to lobby hard for.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Yes, I'm sure.
Kristen Bell, right? No. Okay.
I wish we had 2 hours, though, because we could talk about Scott Peterson for 2 hours.
And that's, I want to talk about that real quick. Why, I mean, you're his attorney. You're going to think, and I guess you should really think that the man's not guilty. But didn't he, and I could be mistaken on this one, he did have the mistress, the Amber Fry, and then he did
and
have a bunch of money in his pocket and change his
hair
color.
There isn't anybody in America who's going to commit murder for Amber Fry.
No, I believe that. Look,
wait,
you can have a mistress.
Wait, that's libelous.
You can have a mistress and not kill
But wait a second, truth is a defense. Remember,
right.
Folks listening, truth is a defense.
Right,
go
but
ahead.
Look, it doesn't mean because you have a mistress you're going to kill your wife and unborn child. I get that.
No, if that's the case, there'd be, with the death penalty, we would have no room on death row.
I agree
anyway.
With you.
My hunch is that he killed her because he was really trying to get to kill the child. Because I think he was having an affair. He had he's a delusional, sociopathic guy, and he wanted to have this amazing life, and he thought of himself as this big businessman. And I think thinking that he was going to become a father was just going to kind of cramp his
destroy
style.
Him.
Yeah,
now, but didn't he? Wait, real quick. Did he not have a bunch of money? On the golf course with a different hair color?
Yeah, kind of yes, he did.
Every single one of these things was disproven in the trial, but as I always said, the problem with Scott Peterson's case was professional women. But no matter what you say to the professional woman, because I used to have this during the trial, I'd be in the gym and they'd say, well, what about this? And I'd debunk it. And they'd say, well, what about this? He was on the golf course with different color hair. Well, the different color hair was because the media was harassing him and he was trying to disguise himself. They'd say, well, he had
that. That's right.
Well, he had his brother's driver's license. No, that was so that he could get onto the golf course as a resident. And you'd disprove everything, and then it would always default to the same thing. The woman would say, well, I don't care about any of that. I had an ex-boyfriend, and I could see him doing the same thing. And so how do you argue with that?
And that's what we talk about in law when we talk about reasonable doubt. We can't just take every fact, every evidence to be an issue that convicts someone. Now, I want to ask you something, Mark, because Wendy just said that she was concerned about maybe he didn't want this kid, the fetus. And you had a case at some point, I believe, where there was a man who was accused of throwing a toddler off a cliff. What is with these men who want to get rid of babies? That makes me a little bit sick.
Well, that case was Cam Brown. I tried the first trial and ended in a hung jury. And the second trial, actually, my then partner, Pat, tried, and that ended in a hung jury. And unfortunately, this guy was convicted the third time around. Neither Pat nor I tried it. I do not believe that ever happened in terms of the throwing it off, or that it was intentional. In fact, in the first two trials, most of the jurors voted for either manslaughter, and in some cases, involuntary manslaughter. He was obviously not the most, the swiftest guy in taking a four-year-old up on that cliff, but he was an outdoorsman. He enjoyed that and everything else. There's always this idea that a father or that you that people want to kill their kids. I just don't see it. In fact, it's usually the mothers postpartum who want to do that. It's not a phenomena that is well documented amongst fathers, especially for financial gain. I don't buy that. I didn't buy it in Cam Brown's case. I certainly don't buy it in Scott's case. If anything, all the evidence shows that Scott was ecstatic about the birth of
All right, so talking about this theme of kids, Wendy, what is your position on Michael Jackson? Of course, when we talk about the child molestation, Mark Garagos represented Michael Jackson for a short period of time, and we'll ask him about that. But, Wendy, do you see someone like Mark representing Michael Jackson?
Well, yeah, and actually, that's a good question for Mark, because when he was representing Michael Jackson, he was also defending Scott Peterson, and so we were doing on Larry King Live, we were every night doing Scott Peterson, and then all of a sudden, Mark called me called me and said, "Hey, guess what? They want me to represent Michael Jackson, and should I do it?" And I thought, "Oh my God, that is that's ridiculous. How can you do both?" But he did. No, I do see him defending Michael Jackson. I think that he definitely was somebody that needed defending, and it was so high profile, and it was important for him to do so. But I have a question for Mark, which I don't think we've talked about for a long time. But you guys brought up Making a Murderer, and one of the things I've of course watched the whole thing too.
What do you think? Do you think Stephen Avery is guilty and is a sociopath?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
There you go.
Yes, hold on a second.
Listening to his girlfriend that was just
let's go on hearsay. For two very smart attorneys, hearsay? Really? Come on. This woman.
That's how we survive.
Hold on a second. This woman who's been in and out of jail, who's got two or three DUIs, who's, obviously for the cameras was I'm in love with him, who actually went to jail because she went to visit him. Come on, guys. Hearsay? Give me a little more than that, and maybe I'll believe it. That man is completely innocent.
Ma'am, can you calm down,
sorry,
please?
Hold on, and I'll tell you something else. This guy gets convicted for something he didn't do. He's about to win $36 million, and there's a key that was scrubbed clean of anybody's DNA except Stephen Avery's. Are you guys, did you really watch it? Did you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm not a lawyer, so I get a pass.
Sorry, Wendy. Sorry about that.
Okay.
You're a smart woman.
Uneducated opinion.
You're a smart woman.
But no.
Wait, I want to hear from Mark.
I want to hear this because this is ridiculous.
Wendy asked a good question. Let's hear Mark. Okay, quietly.
Well, because
Wendy.
You know what happens? Because the pro law and order people, the kind of the what I call the bleach blonde former prosecutors. They cannot accept the fact that somebody has been convicted who was innocent. It kind of tears down their worldview. So what do? They default to, he must be a sociopath. If you don't have evidence, then you just say, okay, the person's a sociopath. And that will excuse the lack of evidence because you just say, it's basically, well, if he didn't do this, he did something else. Kind of thinking, and that's when you revert to just calling somebody a sociopath because he's got no emotion, or as if there's some playbook as to how you're supposed to act when you're being charged with horrific crimes.
So why didn't they put him on the stand? Why didn't you put Scott on the stand, and why didn't they put Stephen on the stand?
Because there's this nettlesome thing called the Fifth Amendment, and when you've got somebody who's in custody, who's sitting in a 6x6 cement box, eating a bologna sandwich with absolute nonstop noise, getting no sleep, getting awakened to go to court at 3 o'clock every morning in a court line like an animal, and then you're going to put him on the stand after he's heard all these horrible things that people say about him, and he's going to do verbal battle with a prosecutor who slept in a nice warm bed the night before, probably banged his wife, and comes into that courtroom, and he's got nothing to. He's had a nice dinner and candlelight dinner the night before, and he's going to come into that courtroom and do battle with my client, who's got if it's Stephen Avery, who's got a 75 IQ. I mean, it's a joke.
That's
Why would you say it's a complete setup?
Mark.
By the way, the prosecution's got the burden of proof.
And I think attorneys really understand what you're saying, because I feel that all the time. I have clients who, I don't want to say it, but they're not the brightest bulb, you know, and I don't want them on the stand, but I don't think that they're guilty of anything, or in my case, that they're lying or they're making things up. They're just going to get eaten up, and the layperson doesn't understand. Just because someone doesn't testify doesn't mean that they have something necessarily to hide other than their ignorance and stupidity.
I agree that you're right, that lay people do not understand that, because if you Google Stephen Avery, and one of the biggest questions was why wasn't he put on the stand if he was innocent. So you're right, people don't understand that if they're not attorneys.
Well, jurors get the instruction. They're supposed to get the instruction, but I will agree with you that people don't. It's honored in the breach, because you get the instruction that you can't even consider it, you can't bring it up. But the first question, even my mother, when she was a juror, she said, she came back afterwards and said, well, why didn't he take the stand? I said, oh, Mom, you're married to a defense lawyer, your son is a defense lawyer, and you asked me that question?
That's okay. We all experience our families always. My wife says the same thing. She asks the questions. Before we go to break, really quickly, Mark, I just have to ask this question, because I want to talk about the Notorious after the break. But first of all, I did some work with Barry Bonds many, many years ago with the Beverly Hills Sports Council. I was doing some marketing for him. You represented Greg Anderson, who, of course, was Bonds' personal trainer, and he refused to testify. First of all, what is your opinion of Barry Bonds and what Greg Anderson did, and how did you go about defending Greg?
Well, I'll tell you, Greg, besides Susan McDougall, are the only two clients I've ever had who willingly went to jail rather than do what they perceived as basically lying for the prosecution. Both people did that. Now, in Susan's case, they accused Susan of having a thing for Bill Clinton or sleeping with Bill Clinton. In Greg's case, they always accused him of Barry was going to take care of him or
right.
had taken care of him money-wise or financially. I dispute both of those things, but I will tell you, representing Greg was incredible, because every time he gets thrown into jail in the district court, the federal district court in the Northern District here, we would go up to the Ninth Circuit and we'd get a reversal and come back down, and then it would be, he'd be in and out of custody. I think he was in and out three times while I represented him, basically by getting the reversals. So I remember the last time when the judge asked us, you know, Mr. Anderson, do you have anything to say before I remand you into custody? You can eliminate this contempt citation, you know, if you agree that you want to go testify.
Right.
And I leaned over and I said to Greg, you got anything you want to say? And Greg gave me a rather colorful anatomically description of what he wanted the judge to do to him. And I leaned back up and I said, Your Honor, I can't repeat it, but no, he's got nothing to say.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, just before the break, I just want to say this, because this is not attorney-client privilege. I'm not asking you any information or anything to divulge from Greg Anderson. Mark Gerger, should Barry Bonds be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, thanks for that comment. Stay with us. We're going to talk about a great television show coming up with Wendy Walker producing,
yes.
Mark Garagos producing. It's called The Notorious. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This Friday, KABC is kicking the presidential election into overdrive. With the first in a series of Election 2016 specials, rock star and political junkie Dave Navarro riffs on politics in an open mic forum that begs for your feedback and gets you in tune for the New Hampshire primaries. It's talk that rocks the vote.
Are you ready to rock?
The Politics Fix with Dave Navarro, Friday night at 8 on 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Casey now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
That's right. It's 800-222-5222. Some good tunes there, Colin. Thanks a lot. We're talking to Mark Garagos. This is Gervey's Law. We have Wendy Walker on the line, too. And they are in a joint venture. You are going to want to hear the next 10 minutes of radio because this is the genesis of a new TV show called The Notorious. ABC ordered the pilot. It's through Sony Pictures TV, and it's co-produced with ABC, apparently. Jeff Kwatnenets, from the firm, well-known, went to Harvard Law School, I believe, and also obviously a big wig in the entertainment business, is involved with Josh Berman as a writer. Tell us, Wendy Walker, how this project started.
Okay, well, I produced Larry King Live for about 18 years, and that meant, you know, thousands and thousands of shows. The most memorable were the ones that when we covered a murder nightly, and it kind of became a reality TV, show on the news, when viewers would get to know the characters, from the attorneys to the accused and their families, you know, like O.J. or Scott Peterson. And so when Larry... when the show ended, my main goal, what I really wanted to do, is a drama on TV. So I called Mark and I said, "What do you think about a show about our two characters and the interplay between, you know, the press and the defense team? And if we could do one trial a season and just really get into one story a season?" And so he loved it, and so that's how it started.
So who did you take the idea to? Because obviously you were talking to Mark, and Mark has a lot of juice, but you need to get it green-lighted. So where did you go from there?
Well, Mark said, call my friend Kenny Masalas in New York. And, Mark, why don't you tell him who Kenny is and how he's involved?
Kenny is probably the foremost entertainment lawyer in the country, represents
right.
virtually anybody and everybody, and he's been a friend of mine for many years, and so he was kind of the natural guy. And I put Wendy, who's obviously been a friend of mine for 15 years, in touch with Kenny, and that we were off to the races. I didn't do anything after that. It was basically them and Jeff from the firm and Josh from the firm, and those guys really ran with it. I was nothing but window dressing.
So how did the concept develop? Now, are you talking about one trial per year, or are there going to be other stories that are going to be developed?
Well, there'll be other stories developed within, you know, with each episode. And that's where Josh Berman comes in. He's the showrunner. He's the brains behind it. It will be created by him, and so it will take, you know, he'll be the one that's writing it and making those decisions. But yeah, we're hoping that it's one story per season. But then also there'll be other stories intermixed, you know, as well.
So you're listening right now to Wendy Walker, longtime senior VP and former executive producer of Larry King Live, and Mark Garagos. Now, what everyone wants to hear here on Gervey's Law is, tell us behind the scenes how you two interacted, because that's the basis of this new show. So tell us about what really went on in the heat of battle back in the day when, you know, Mark was defending these people who were, these stories, these cases were all over, and Wendy was right in the thick of things with Larry King Live and CNN.
I'm going to let Wendy answer this one so that I don't violate any attorney-client privilege.
Well, it's an intricate dance, I think, between the press and the lawyers who are controlling, you know, these cases. And usually on a story like this, you know, I'd be taking a local news story pretty much and turning it into something, you know, an international story. Because most of these stories, like Scott Peterson, start out, they're, you know, JonBenet Ramsey, the ones that are really interesting, they really start out as local stories. But then you do it because it's interesting, and then they just take over, you know, just kind of take over. And in Mark, in his case, he would really want to control the message when there was a big case of fame, you know, that was out there in the press. And he's a master at that, to, you know, using the press to his advantage. And it's funny you talk about his dad. His dad, who's an amazing lawyer, always told Mark to stay away from the press, which is probably why, you know, as a good son, he was all over the press. But nobody can master the press like Mark. And I think that's why this character is going to be so, you know, fascinating for people to see. That, you know, how he would do it and what was important to him.
Mark, you know, you're giggling a little bit right now, but there are a lot of lawyers who are listening to the show and they say, you know, why should a lawyer be out in the public? I know we've had Gloria Allred on the show and she said, I'm going to speak for those who can't. I don't care. I'm going to go into the media and, you know, make my points. Then there are other lawyers who say, you know, I got to be careful. I need to measure my words and maybe it's better not to open up at all. What is your position on that?
Well, this is the thing. Look, my father's generation, which was, they grew up with a U.S. Supreme Court case, Shepard versus Maxwell, and that was the case that later became the blueprint for The Fugitive, the TV series, and that's where F. Lee Bailey made his career, by taking that to U.S. Supreme Court.
And by the way, Mark, just to interrupt you, we just had F. Lee Bailey on the show probably about 2 months ago, and he said definitely that case was behind The Fugitive, because people have said, was The Fugitive evolved on its own? F. Lee Bailey will swear to it, as he did on Gervie's Law, that he was behind that, and that's how that show developed.
And look, there's nobody who was better in his prime than Lee Bailey. He was an incredible, incredible lawyer in his day, and it's really unfortunate that they have not restored his law license to him, either in Maine or in Florida.
Right.
But what ends up happening is, in the old days, the gag order was designed under Shepard versus Maxwell to supposedly help the defense. But what ends up happening is that you gag the defense, which allows the prosecution ultimately to control the board. And that ends up, you get a prejudgment of guilt, and it's very difficult in this day and age, and with, you know, what we call the 24/7 news cycle, to be able to combat that if you're a lawyer. And if you don't deal with the media, you really are committing malpractice. And so when judges threaten you, and, you know, I mean, as recently as last week, I had a gag order placed on me, and then the case ended up getting mistried, and so it evaporated. But the gag order is no friend to the defense, and not talking when the media is covering your case is no friend to the defense. And, you know, Gloria and I may not agree on a lot of things, but Gloria understands also that the one thing that can help the underdog is to be able to use the media to get your client's story out, because
right.
You can't compete with an institution or bureaucracy or the government. They've got, you know, they've got a blank checkbook, and they exceed that. Only way to combat it is through the media.
And I have to agree with you. I don't know if you two are familiar, Mark and Wendy, with my case, with Casey Kasem being my father and having to fight with him.
I do. I'm very familiar with
him. In most cases that this happened to, it was always, oh, well, but their kids are going after the money. So what I did was I used the media. I used them, I protested with not just me, my brother, and my sister, but all of my dad's friends, all of my dad's family, everybody standing outside my father's house saying, we all can't see him. This isn't a kids against stepmother thing. Nobody can see my dad. And that, I think, positioned my family as to, you know, is not money-grubbing, like, estranged kids, but, hey, something's going on here. That's a lot bigger.
Yeah, Carrie, that's a good point, and that's lawyers who are out in the media. I think we agree with it. We only have a minute and a half left. I want to just find out from both Wendy and Mark, tell us about when we can expect to see The Notorious and where we find it. Wendy?
Well, we're hoping, right, that it's going to be on in the fall on ABC.
Well, that's good, and that's what we're hoping
that is,
to.
That's as good as you could do, Wendy?
Well, go ahead, Mark.
I love you, too. You know what?
The process works. If you get picked up for, I've learned this the hard way. If you get picked up for a pilot, that's a huge deal, and then once you make the pilot, they look at it, and then they order the series. So if they order the series, come September, hopefully you'll have us back on and we'll be promoting it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, just listening to the two of you, I want to watch a show about you two. The interaction is really incredible. Two very bright minds who may think a little bit differently. Wendy Walker, thank you so much for being on Gervie's Law. We really appreciate it.
Great,
and we'll
you.
Be watching a new book hopefully coming out, right?
Right.
Good. And the old book is Producer, Lessons Shared from 30 Years in Television. Mark Garagos of Garagos and Garagos right here in Los Angeles. Continue doing what you're doing. I'm going to watch the Rafe Esquith case with a lot of care and concern. Loved the complaint. In that case, the class action complaint. Good luck with all of your cases, and hopefully you'll be back on Gervie's Law in no time.
And I'll keep following you on Twitter, Mark.
Thank you so much.
What's his handle, Carrie? What's his handle?
I think it's just Mark Garagos. I don't know.
At Mark Garagos.
Yeah.
Mark Garagos. All right, thanks both of you.
Okay.
And
bye.
Thank everyone.